ever wanted to know what it is really like to have been adopted or to be differently abled or to have survived a terminal illness? Well, an event which is happening at Bertha House in Mowbray next week is giving you the chance to find out, as volunteers are sharing their lived experiences with those who are curious to know. The Ask a Stranger event is the brainchild of Maddie van Skalkwijk, who's the founder and director of A Stranger Kind. Maddie spent the last 7 years working with social spaces invested in promoting empathy, diversity, accessibility and belonging, with a focus on our curiosity as the catalyst. Hello, Maddie. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
I am so pleased that you've come in. First of all, thank you very much indeed. You've got to tell us, what is the brainchild of this? Where did this come from? What a great idea.
Thank you. Ironically, I think it was born out of me mostly ruining family dinners. I used to be the one at the table that would bring up these conversations around topics that not everyone is always keen to talk about. And at one point...
Like what?
My opinion on certain topics. That's usually maybe on the taboo or a little bit stereotyped. And I would be advocating massively for it, even though I personally don't have any experience in it.
Sure.
And I later learned that that is quite a big important part of the conflict in those spaces. You know, when we talk so passionately about something that we actually also don't have any experience in.
Right.
And then one day one of my friends said, listen, you need a different platform. You cannot do this at every dinner. You do need your family in other spaces. So find a different space. And so I started looking into different methodologies and storytelling platforms and places where kind of this type of curiosity and passion is accepted or appreciated at least. And so A Stranger Kind was born out of that. Finding places, firstly, where I could safely be curious about things, where it's okay to be ignorant, where it's okay to still not know, because how are we supposed to know?
Right.
We walk around as if we have the answers, and most of the time, you know, I was in my 30s before I spoke to someone in a wheelchair.
Right.
Just because of the environment that I grew up in that wasn't exposed to that. So my normal was so different to 99% of the people out there.
Yeah.
And it also stays like that if you don't get opportunities to connect. But then we're also so scared we're going to offend someone if we ask a question in the wrong time or the wrong place. Some of us are quite introverted. We don't walk up to someone in a shop and ask them, can I ask you about this or your hair or something?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I thought, what would happen if we have a space where there's upfront permission to be curious, to ask questions, to challenge the idea that it's okay to talk to strangers?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's been incredible to see how people just, you know, they're kind of at first a little bit anxious about the space. They don't necessarily trust how safe it is.
Right.
And then they test it out and they maybe start with a topic that's not so intimidating to them. And then they just see it. They see how this space just allows people to connect deeply over like 45 minutes with a complete stranger. And it really works. It's incredible to see how we lean into empathy and understanding when we just connect with someone and feel safe.
So how many speakers do you have at an event?
We usually range between 12 and 15 volunteers.
Okay.
Depending on the day, depending on where we're having it, depending on the space that it will allow. But we've got about 150 volunteers across the country.
Wow.
Yes.
So when people turn up, do they, it's not, I said speakers, but volunteers, so they're not giving a speech. Yeah. Do you get to go and sit down with somebody and have a certain an allocated amount of time with them? Is that how it works?
Yes. And again, sometimes it's a little bit organic. So when we have it at a market, for instance, it's a little bit more of a flow. You can come and see who's available or not.
Okay.
But when it is at an event like next weekend at Bertha House, what you'll do is you'll get to the event and you'll just see a list of topics. So you don't know what they look like.
Okay.
You just see maybe someone that's adopted, someone that is a pastor mediating with gangs, someone that talks about parenting out of a wheelchair. And you can decide, sure, this sounds interesting. This sparks my curiosity. And you choose that topic and you then go and sit down with our volunteer. And this is, it's not someone with a degree in the topic. It's someone with the actual day-to-day living experience of it. And they're going to give you a brief introduction about their story, maybe how they got to that point or just a little bit of our highlights. And so say maybe 5 to 7 minutes. And then for the rest of 45 minutes, you're allowed to ask them anything. And we really say anything. If they're not comfortable answering something, they'll just tell you, I prefer not to answer it, but please ask me something else.
Okay.
There's no judgment for the questions you bring to the table.
So you only have one person that you can...
Yeah, so you are sitting down just with one volunteer, and the people that sit down with a volunteer, it will either just be you or people that you know. So we won't be putting a bunch of strangers together at a space, because what we are trying to do is create safety that, you know, you don't want to be judged for the questions you have.
No, sure, okay.
So it's quite intimate.
And speaking about that safety, and you know, I think this is where things like cancel culture are so problematic, in that in my experience, there's an awful lot of people who are desperate to know about other people's lived experience. There's also an awful lot of people that aren't.
Yeah.
And they're quite bigoted and judged. You know, you can't help people that don't want to be helped. So fine, we'll put those in another box. But there's also a lot of people who genuinely are curious. And I think particularly in a South African context where we all live in the same country, yet our lives are so, so, so different. And things like language and economics and all of these things make us very distant from each other. And in that come a lot of assumptions and stereotypes. And that puts people on the back foot of inquiring, lest they be labelled something, right? And so I love the idea that this creates a space where people can safely ask questions. But then I also wonder, for the people who are doing the answering, how do you make sure that it's safe for them as well? Because, how do you make sure it's safe for them as well?
Yeah, so a big part of the training that we do beforehand is not to kind of shape their stories. It's actually to make sure that they understand that that space is owned by them. They're not representing every other person out there about that story.
Yeah.
And so what that does is, the moment someone asks them, where people maybe come and sit and they say, well, I don't agree with you, I'm also someone from that background.
Right.
The only thing we tell our volunteers, remember that you can engage in that, but you at the end of the day just go back to saying, that's very interesting. It's interesting that that was your experience, but in my experience,
yeah.
And that validates their story.
Yeah.
And so that's quite important. But it's also interesting to see, you know, we've been doing this for 7 years. It takes courage to sit down. So we very seldom get people that's there to kind of try and actually create the tension.
Right.
It takes courage to go and choose the topic, because you're either admitting that you don't know something about it, or that you have also a shared experience in it. And so when people sit down, you know, they're already kind of exchanging in a trust dynamic there. And so it somehow stays very respectful in that conversation, and people very seldom feel the need that they're not allowed. And what is nice, because the person asking the questions can also give context where they're coming from. So I can say, you know, I was brought up in a very conservative Afrikaans family in the Free State. So suddenly this person goes, okay, this person probably wouldn't know better than the terminology they're using.
Yeah.
So what this intimate space allows for is that context. And while we may be putting down a topic that starts out sounding interesting, you're also getting to know this person in kind of a holistic point. So it creates moments where people can find a shared connection. You might also have gone through something. And so there's a personal connection that happens in this intimate space that wants people to kind of keep it safe for both of them. And that's why it works.
Where do you think we moved away from, or maybe we didn't move away from it? Where do you think we, but I'll frame it as this, moved away from being empathetic? Like my big thing as a person is empathy, and sometimes I think we lose empathy, not because we choose to lose it, but because our own lives become so a lot of us are just fighting for our lives every day, right? We're just trying to survive, we're just trying to get on with things, and it's almost that thing of, I don't have time for anything outside of myself, and not in a selfish way, but in a survival way. We're just trying to get on with it. And that can make us appear as if we don't have empathy. We do, but we just sometimes don't have space. Empathy can sometimes take energy that maybe we don't have the capacity for. Do you think there was a point at which we lost empathy, and are we moving generally towards reclaiming empathy?
Yeah, and it's interesting, in a lot of spaces the word empathy is coming up, and it's also almost getting a little bit of a sense, people are almost getting a resistance to the word, almost, because it seems like you have to give something up.
Yeah.
In a way, and that's why I think a lot of people feel, I don't have time to empathize with you because no one's empathizing with me.
Right, right.
And I think why, again, what we're doing with Stranger Kind's Ask events is we are creating moments for individuals to be seen.
Yeah.
That's why our volunteers are sharing their stories, because you don't have to be a public speaker to make a difference with your story. You can own your story.
Absolutely.
In an intimate space where you can feel safe. But also when people sit down and you and I are talking, my story is also kind of witnessed, because when I ask questions, it's what's important to me.
Yeah.
And so I think in that moment, people feel like they can have empathy, because in that space, they can also get empathy from where they're coming from.
I think that's so beautiful. I was speaking to somebody in the week about, I talk a lot on the show about generational trauma and, and things like that. And I was speaking to somebody in the week about this and the idea of why you might not receive empathy from certain people. And it's almost that thing of, well, I suffered and I paid my dues of suffering and now you must too. And it's that thing of, I wasn't witnessed.
Yes.
So I don't have the capacity to witness. No one held space for me, and therefore I don't have it in me to hold space for you. And it's so interesting. It's so interesting what you say about empathy. If you're just joining us this morning, I'm chatting with Maddie van Schalkwyk, who's the founder and director of A Stranger Kind. Next week, an event is happening at Bertha House in Mowbray, giving you the chance to find out about the lived experiences of other people, whether it be someone who's been adopted, somebody who uses a wheelchair, somebody who survived a terminal illness, somebody who works with gangsters, a whole host of people. How do you find your volunteers?
In the beginning, I actually just thought about topics that I was interested in.
Right.
And being in Cape Town, and what was relevant, maybe in the news, or topics that was quite stereotyped or stigmatized. And then it kind of grew up. I realized, you know, for me, example, like I said, I was born in the Free State in a very conservative Afrikaans family. And I very seldom get to meet people different to me. Mm. And that includes just very basic topics. It's not just these taboo and stereotype topics.
Yeah, yeah.
It's my best friend that, you know, Zulu, it took 6 years for me to have the courage to ask him about, you know, Lobola.
And right.
Going, really? And I said, I was so scared I was going to say the wrong thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so I realized, what if we open up the platform into more general topics? And so what is nice when people come to the event, they realize that there's space for each story. And so they come and they think, you know, I also want to give back in some way. And by just being me, I can do that. And so people then after events ask us, how can they get involved? And,
wow.
You know, I've not met a person that cannot bring a story into this space. Every person has some part that is different to someone else's life story, and we want to know about it.
Yeah.
And so it kind of just kind of grew out of all the events and people talking about it. And then people coming to our event, experiencing it and going away, then sharing these stories, how they lived on, and then people saying they want to know how to take part in this as well.
Do you have repeat volunteers? I mean, do you have your regulars?
I've got volunteers that literally started with me in November 2017 that has been to almost every event that will be there on this Saturday.
Really?
And I think that is what always blows my mind, is to see over 7 years, you know, a lot of organizations struggle to keep volunteers. I always look at them and go, it's a Saturday, you're giving 3 hours of your day, you know, spilling your guts, being open to be asked potentially very difficult questions. Why are you still showing up? And I think it's because there is kind of owning your story, and there's obviously therapeutical advantages of sharing your story, but also to see the difference you can make speaking one-on-one. And I think that's another thing, you know, we're always so engaged with numbers, the scalability of something. But people don't realize if you make an impact, a true impact in a one-on-one conversation, it will live on. It'll do the job when it leaves the room.
Yeah.
And so I think the volunteers have seen that, and they've seen also how they've grown in that space.
I was going to say, I mean, for 7 years, if my maths is right, 2024, 20, yeah, they must have had their own...
Yeah.
Their own growth in that period, which must be fascinating just for some self-reflection.
Yeah, and some of volunteers will come and they'll start with one story, and after a few years they'll go, I don't feel like I connect to this part of the story anymore.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes, and so we always allow volunteers to change their topics.
I love
even
that.
Between events.
Because we're not only just one thing.
And that's the thing. I think that's what we also want people to realize when they come and sit in these conversations. You and I might start talking about a specific topic, but somewhere along the line, I'm going to go, oh, I also went there, or I also did this, or also had a teacher like that.
Yeah.
And the conversation might go off in a different direction, which is fine. We just want that connection. We want people to actually meet someone else from a community and realize, you know, we actually... share a lot, but we're also very different. And also then realise that complexity about ourselves.
Maddie, who's kind of going to be there on Saturday?
Oh, we've got an incredible bunch of volunteers. We've got, as you've mentioned, we have someone talking about adoption, talking about a third culture kid. We've got someone talking about being on the autism spectrum, someone that has survived having a brain tumour, someone that has donated an organ, and also the grief of that, but also then losing the person.
Say that again.
Yes.
Someone who's donated an organ.
Yes.
And the grief of that.
Yes. Because we forget that that's a part of yourself.
Didn't even think of that.
And that's the thing, you know, you go to these topics and you think, how interesting can this be? And you sit there and you kind of go, I've never thought of that. I never thought of preparing myself like that. I also realize, you know, in Johannesburg, we've got someone talking about being a grief specialist. And she says, how many times, it's the one shared experience we all will have in some form. Yet it's grief is something we don't talk about. We don't talk about the complexity of it. And so then also losing the person that she donated the kidney to and realizing a part of herself has died now. And so, you know, it's very interesting topics that you think you know what you're going to sign up for. And it's actually because you're in charge of the questions you ask, but it's amazing to see where you end up at the end of that conversation.
Isn't that fascinating?
We'll have a pastor talking about working in Hanover Park, mediating the violence between gangs. And someone talking about parenting out of a wheelchair, and also the incident that got her there. So it's quite a wide variety of topics. I would encourage people to just come and check it out.
Where,
if they're not sure.
I said Bertha House. What time is it happening?
It's from 11 o'clock onwards.
Oh, so I can do it. I can go. I was thinking, please don't say 9 o'clock because then I'm going to be here.
And people can literally pop in any time between 11 and 2. We do finish our last session. We'll start at 1:15.
Okay.
So, but even if you're not sure about this, just come hang out with us. Just come see what the space is about. It's a beautiful energy. And, you know, you can come in for one session. You can literally sit down with our volunteers. Ask them one question and end the conversation.
Okay.
And we even have conversation starters. So if you're not sure what you're going to
ask. Oh, thank goodness, because some people find that difficult, don't they?
Yes, because it's intimidating. You've never met this person. It's funny how we are so scared of strangers, but we have seen how people have disclosed to our volunteers stuff that they haven't disclosed to their own family members because of the safety of a stranger.
That's so beautiful.
If you ask a horrible question, you never have to see them again.
Yeah.
So it's okay. It's not that massive relationship that you're going to lose, but it's also a space where the person sitting across from you have no context about where this is also coming from. So it's less loaded.
Right.
So it's just an incredible space. I really encourage people, come through, come ask one question, come sit for 3 hours. Just come check it out. It's really
incredible. Do you do a debrief with your volunteers? I mean, how do you know that someone, and not that it's your choice, you're not their guardian, but I mean, how do you know that somebody is ready to tell their story and is ready to deal with that? And the reason that I ask that question is because as somebody who's kind of put my life out there in memoir form, I do events and sometimes I think there's an assumption sometimes that when you tell your story, whether it be in a book form or speaker form, that you've necessarily healed from all of the parts in your story. And that certainly in my experience, that's not true. I haven't. And I don't think it's necessary to have done that either. You know, otherwise I'd never go anywhere because the healing process is a continual journey. But something might trigger someone. And sometimes that happens to me at events. And I've kind of learned how to deal with it over the time. But how do you know that somebody is ready to do that, or can you debrief with them afterwards? Do you have, if they're finding it too much, can they say, you know what, I need to take some time? How do you manage that?
So in the training sessions that we do, I kind of try and gauge where they are with these stories. So any topics are allowed as long as it's legal from where it's told now. So I say that because we might have people that have been to prison for something, so they might share something that is not legal, but the story about how it got there, but where it's legal and non-harming from where they're telling it now, and that they're healthy in that topic. So when we are having a conversation, and we are, so I can't consider every person that they're going to meet what they're going to ask. We can't prepare them. But I would potentially, in our training session, ask them the worst question I could think of asking from my point of view. And we want to see how it feels for them sitting in that moment and being challenged with a question like that. And the nice thing is we always tell them they always have a choice to not answer. So they can always say, I prefer not to answer that, but please ask me something else.
Yeah.
But we also want them to know, and this goes for the person asking the questions as well, if at any point they feel uncomfortable, if at any point they feel the space doesn't feel safe anymore, that they don't want to take part in it, both parties can leave without explaining themselves.
Okay.
But we also do always have someone with counseling experience on
do
site.
You?
And even for the people, if
Amazing.
You maybe come and sit, because a lot of people don't realize how authentic and open our volunteers
yes.
are. So they might ask a question, they weren't necessarily ready for the answer.
Sure.
And so we also tell people, you know, this is not a counseling space. We can't advise you. Our volunteers will also never tell you, you should go and do this. They'll always say, what helped me was to do this. But if someone maybe afterwards feel vulnerable, we do have someone with some experience that they can sit down, or we have people that we refer them to.
Okay.
It's not that it's our responsibility, but we do want to keep everyone feeling like they are close up when they are done. We do afterwards then check in with our volunteers, and
okay.
we always keep communication open during the week after as well, and say if they do feel vulnerable, something came up. I mean, we've had
yep.
volunteers that live their stories their whole life, and someone might ask something extremely random, triggers them,
yep.
and they only realize it 2 days later. But we do ask them to make sure that they know we're there for that support long term.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Somebody's saying reciprocity is the word that came to mind listening to your guest. What a great concept. Maddie is an amazing person, and her work with Ask is really worth supporting, says Noel. Thank you for your message, Noel. Okay, so it's happening at Bertha House in Mowbray next week from 11 o'clock. Do people need to buy tickets? How does it work?
No. So the nice thing is all our public events are always free. We
wow.
want really anyone to be able to take part. Inclusivity and accessibility is very important
That's
to
fantastic.
Us.
That's fantastic.
And so people are welcome to just show up on Saturday. If they do want to help us get an idea of our reservations, they're welcome to join either on social media, one of our links to just show that they're going to attend the event. We do have some online tickets available, but it's mostly just for numbers to kind of get an idea of what we can expect.
Got you.
But no, if you Saturday morning wake up and you feel you didn't think of it, but you might actually have the time for it, come pop by anytime.
Well, we'll do it as a top pick next week, and then we can remind people that it's happening. How often do you have these events, Maddie?
As much as we have the capacity or opportunity to. So
okay.
we try and do one at least quarterly, and
okay.
We're going to be doing one in Somerset West soon, I think 2 months from now,
yep.
in a little theatre.
Oh, nice.
I always joke, we pop up in very random spaces. If
okay.
someone gives me a large enough lift, I'll probably try and get two of our volunteers in there and have a conversation with
that.
Them.
That's
and then
fantastic.
we are doing some corporate events during the year as well.
Okay.
So this is maybe also something that corporates can keep in mind as a way of engaging their teams around inclusivity, conversations, or empathy.
That is such a great idea.
Because we bring in volunteers that they don't have to, you know, worry about how their staff might feel about
yes.
some of these topics.
Oh, what a great idea.
Yeah, and that's actually how we raise our funds to be able to do the free events. We do corporate events for that.
That's so smart. That's such a great idea. I've just had an idea. I was looking out over the harbour and I was thinking you could get the wheel at V&A Waterfront. Is it still there? Or wherever it was. And you go in a pod. In a capsule,
yeah.
you
yeah.
just go around with a volunteer.
And people must keep an eye out. We are planning to do things like dinners with strangers as fundraising events, or, you know, trying to get people to get on a bus and maybe join a trip with us.
I love it.
So hopefully in the future they'll be able to see this organically flow into different spaces and just remind people to actually be curious.
I love that.
Even going back to your own home, you know, for me this has been an incredible learning curve to realize just how unaware I am of even people that I thought I knew.
100%.
And asking more questions.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a fantastic idea. It's happening at Bertha House in Mowbray next week, 11 o'clock. Don't worry if you forget or whatever. We'll give you a reminder next Saturday. Maddie van Schalkwijk is the founder of A Stranger Kind, which hosts the event. What did I want to ask you? No, I think... Was that it? I'm sure I had something going. Oh, if somebody wants to be, if they think that maybe they've got a story and want to be a volunteer.
Yes, please. Yeah. So we are always looking for more people to join us. Even if you've seen topics at our events and you go, I would have been able to talk about something similar. We want all of those stories.
Okay.
So they're welcome to reach out to me either on our social media, which is all A Stranger Kind. So you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, all those places. Our website is astrangerkind.com. You can email me at ask@astrangerkind.com. strangerkind.com, or you can WhatsApp me on 082-926-1012. You will be talking to me, and let's get in touch. If you're not even sure if you have a topic, let's go have a coffee. I promise you, you do.
Yeah.
Just reach out to us. Even if you maybe don't necessarily want to start telling your story, but you do want to be involved with the space, we always need people at our front desk to just engage with people and talk about the topic. So please reach out to me, get involved. It's also just, you know, I think the reason why a lot of volunteers stay on is because it becomes a community that you belong to. There's a sense of familiarity and kind of a community that just by being you, you're accepted and loved. And it's been incredible to see when volunteers have seen each other for a few months and they see each other at these events, you know, the connection that there is. It's also a place for networking. So if you're also just maybe new in Cape Town, you don't know where to kind of start, please come hang out with us.
Yeah, I love it. I think it's fantastic. Maddie, thanks very much indeed for joining us. The time is 8:36.